Grace, mercy, and peace be with each one here this morning, both those that are here and those that are not here and listening in this morning. I appreciate that devotional, the blessing of being able to have such an experience, regardless of what we face in life. Moses chose, Daniel purposed in his heart, and David says here, I delight to do thy will. Are those avenues, or maybe we should say those are avenues that we can put in place in our lives to experience a victorious Christian experience like David here so clearly brings out. In spite of the struggles he faced, he just keeps on coming back to the fact that God is his help, and he's waiting patiently for him to guide him through. He put a new song in his heart. So may the Lord be praised this morning as we again are gathered together. Who would have thought on our last evening of revival meeting 7 weeks ago, and I wouldn't see any of the brethren except one for this until this morning. Somebody would have told me that evening, you're not going to see any of these brethren here in this whole big church building for 7 weeks, except one. But that is how life is. Life has changes. Life sometimes has some curves in the road for us, and this certainly is one of those times. May God help us to use these times not in fear, not in discouragement, but in a realization that God is in control. He knows our needs. He knows the struggles that are going on around us. He knows the beginning from the end. So may we, with those thoughts, continue to serve the Lord faithfully, even when things seem so disrupted in our lives. My text comes this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, which simply says like this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Before we go into that text, turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. We'd like to look at that chapter as a background for a story to sort of give us a picture of how things are in the area of Christian growth and in the area of being able to maintain a vital spiritual life even in the midst of a decaying society. 1 Samuel 17 gives us the story of David and Goliath, a story that is well known to each one of us, but a story that I think we can use as a backdrop for the message this morning. We notice in the first number of verses what was taking place. There was a battle set array. The children of God were on one mountain, and the children of their enemy was on the other side, and there was a valley in between. We can see that in verse 3 and 4. How that, especially in verse 3, how that battle was set in array, and here they were. Most times when a battle set in array, there was a clashing and a coming together. But this is different. This was different in the sense that in verse 3, we notice Goliath coming out and setting some parameters for this battle. A parameter that probably the children of Israel weren't expecting, weren't used to, and certainly we want to consider that as we consider the battle we have in relation to the enemy of our soul this morning. You know, we are facing a battle. We have an enemy. As Peter tells us, it's a roaring lion. He's out there seeking whom he may devour. And we can see that coming out here in this great giant as he mocked and told the children of Israel, the choice is yours. Send a man out here. If he is able to overcome, kill me, then we're going to be your servants. And if I kill the man that comes out, you're going to be my servants. Whose servants do you want to be this morning? You know, that should have caused the children of Israel to implore their God and to seek his face. But what did they do? We notice that for the next 40 days, as it would give us probably possibility, at least in verse 24, it says, verse 22. I must have the reference wrong there. But we notice that for 40 days there, this giant was coming out and giving this challenge. And instead of the army of Israel taking the offense, they were offended and they were on the side of what can we do? How this giant, there's no way we can match this giant. I'm surprised already in reading this. Earlier, Jonathan crawled on his hands and knees right into enemy territory, and he won a victorious battle. How Jonathan could stand there with the rest of the army, I'm not sure. But at least there was nobody there that came out and stood against this giant until David came on the scenes. He heard the same voice that the army was hearing all this time, but to him, it had a different note. To him, this giant was defying the God of Israel, and that he couldn't take lightly. And that's how we need to, as we think of the battle we're in. We can't take lightly the onslaughts of the society around us and just think, well, is there any hope? I'm not sure if I can even make it through this. We need to be on the positive side of things because we have God like David did here. David, was he boasting when he said, I'll go kill this giant? Was he just going to show off his skills? No, we read in verse 43 of this chapter, 1 Samuel 17, in verse 46, I'm sorry. This day the Lord will deliver thee in my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will give the carcasses of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. You know, it seemed like it would sound like he was boasting. But when he came to the giant, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. That's, brethren, how we need to fight the enemy of our soul. This brings us to our text this morning. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I would like to share this morning that, or acknowledge that this message was requested by one of our brethren some time back, wondered if I would preach on this subject. And it's my desire this morning that somehow in my weakness I can convey his concerns to each one of us this morning as we consider the end times which we're living in. We are living in perilous times. That is beyond question. Some years ago, I was talking to a neighbor. He's a school teacher. And we were talking, chatting there. And he was lamenting the change that was taking place among the school children. How that once the ones that were rowdy were of the few, and the ones that has changed, and now it seems like the ones that are the most rowdy are being looked up to and copied after. And he was just lamenting the change that was coming into the public school at that time, and that's been quite a few years ago. And I told him, well, you know, that's all prophesied and talked about in the Bible. He said, it is. And so we turn to this scripture here. And I showed him and I read to him. And he couldn't hardly believe how clearly this pictured the society in which we live. That somehow, years ago, this was already prophesied. That in the last days, perilous times, we'll read from verse 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. This morning, we have a picture here of the Spirit of God in our hearts as a child of God on one mountain, so to speak. And we have a picture of the self-life, our own self-life on the other mountain. And in that valley, in between, we make those choices in life. That's where the battle is fought. It is here that we either stand on the body of the enemy like David did when the giant was slain and claimed the victory through the power of God, or deny the indwelling power of the Spirit of God within our hearts. This morning, do we really understand the perilous times that we're living in? We have this list here. If we should just put a checklist this morning in our lives, right along these scriptures, how would we fare? We read, I'm just going to mention a few. We read of covetousness. You know, if I only had, and you can name whatever you have on your list, if I only had, you know, I'm afraid sometimes we're so used to discarding things in life. Useful, they're still good, but something newer and better has come out. Something with more features. Something, because our friend has it, we want it too. So that we hardly know how serious the sin of covetousness is taking hold in our soul. How many times do we go shopping and we don't really plan to buy anything particular, but we see something real nice and we don't really need it, but oh, it looks so nice and we just think, well, I gotta have that. Covetousness, this is something that's very serious sin. Lovers of their own selves. I need to have things my way. What do I get out of it rather than what can I contribute to the cause of others? How much do I do things just to receive praise of men? These are checklists that we can put behind these things to say, how am I faring in this battle of the soul in our last and perilous times? Proud. Talks about proud. We value our own judgment beyond that of the brotherhood. Yeah, I know this is the consensus of the brotherhood, but we value our own input more than we do that. So we go about doing things that we have agreed that we won't take care of, do, or other things. And then boasters is right there along with our proud spirit. We like to boast of our accomplishments. Where's the checklist behind our name in that area? Disobedient to parents is another one. My parents just don't understand, we say. We do things behind their back. Hope they never find that out. Where's the checklist? Where are you on that checklist? Then we have this set of twins. Unthankful, unholy. Those are twins that go together. If we lead an unthankful life, we can also be assured that we're going to live an unholy life. Unthankful. Here we have most everything we need. For sure, food and clothing. But we fail to be thankful to God for the blessings that He so freely is sharing with us. And we see the things we don't have. We see the things, oh, I wish it would be this way. We see what others have and we become unthankful. We have left our first love, brethren and sisters. The joy of being a child of God is no longer the radiating factor that's motivating our life. And we lead an unholy, this attitude will lead us to unholy desires. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We get all excited when we get together for fun and social togetherness and other things, whether it's whatever it may be. We get excited about those things, but how about coming together for Bible study or other times like this morning, when we get fed and nourished in the issue, in the things of that benefit our soul. I want to touch more on that later, but this morning I'd like to just consider that as a checklist behind some of those. You know, for the most part, it talks about denying the power, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's what they did. That's what the children of Israel did. They were denying that God would have the power to take care of this giant and give them a victory in the battle. Where was God? What were they thinking? For most part, we love power. More speed when we step on the throttle, you know. Faster servers. We marvel at those big planes that can take off and go up into the skies with all their weight on. Power, tremendous power. The list goes on, but when it comes to the power of denying our fleshly desires, where am I? Are we excited at the power that is available to us? As excited as David was when he was running towards the Goliath there? He was running with the assurance that God was on his side. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And we can face every issue in life with that confidence if we're faithful in applying the power of God to the issues of our life. You know, there is sufficient power there. The grace of God is given to every believer to deny our self-life of its pampering to its own destructions. You know, that's what happens if we're pampering our self-life and catering into our selfish desires. We're actually pampering our life to its destruction. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. Notice what that is saying. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, first it appeared, Next, it teaches. Then it's up to us how we live, how we respond, how we deny and enjoy that glorious power that we have through God in giving us the understanding we need. Another one is given in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power, listen to that. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What a power. That power goes far beyond anything that man has ever designed. So we need not to deny the power of God. When it comes to having a form of godliness, it is good for us to have a form of godliness. God expects us to have that form. But he also expects us to exercise the power that comes with a godly life. And that's the challenge we want to lay before us this morning. I'd like to take a closer look at that last, at verse 5. Verse 4, I'm sorry. It says, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, when we drive to church, not so much this morning, but Sunday after Sunday, we drive to church and people pass us with their motorboats behind their vehicles or their three-wheelers or their dirt bikes on their trailers, and they're just going out and spending the day away from the daily grind of life. We go past restaurants that are, the parking lots are filled. I'm sharing this because we are living in perilous times, brethren and sisters. We're rubbing shoulders with the people around us. We're rubbing shoulders as children of God with people that are spending billions of dollars to fulfill their carnal pleasures. Paul tells us, in Ephesians chapter 2, you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who in times past walked according to the world and its system, according to the prince and the power of the air, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. Twice it says in times past, to the lusts of our flesh. But immediately following that verse says, but God. Isn't that a blessing? What? What next? But God. We were there. It should all be past tense in our life. So this morning, the question before is, are we denying the power of God as these desires, whatever it is from our hearts, continue to draw our heartstrings? That these things are in the past. Today we're enjoying the blessings of God. Today we're experiencing his divine inspiration to be a vessel fitted in his service. But there's not much question, brothers and sisters, if some of this pleasure mentality is having its effect on the church and its members. There's not much question. We see that coming. We see that rubbing off on us. And I'm included in that. We see what other people are doing, and we tend to relax where our pleasure comes from. David said, I will delight myself in the Lord. Is that where our delight is coming, or is it coming from those sensual pleasures? The giant of pleasure is saying, give us a man. If I kill him, you're going to be my servants. And sad to say, there's many that are falling at his feet. Remember, Jesus paid a premium for the ransom of our soul. And we'll never conquer this giant by a passive Christian experience. We'll never make it through if we're passive, if we're trembling and fearing and looking at the world around us. They really have something going there. They're enjoying the life. We need to be on the offense with David. I will go and kill this giant. I come to you in the name of the Lord of the church. Just like to take some time this morning a little bit to look at, take a serious look at the enslaving effects of the entertainment industry and the sports world in the way it has captured the masses of our day. To many, it has become their idol. Where am I at this morning? Where are you at? I don't know how many of you read the article in the February Calvary Messenger, an article by Sean Miller, where he gave four reasons as arguments to protect and defend the Christian against involvement in the sports world. I don't know how many of you read that article. I hope that you all read it, but sometimes we skip over some things, and sometimes maybe some people don't take much interest in reading the Calvary Messenger. But in February article, Brother Sean mentioned four reasons. Well, I'm just going to quickly share them. The first one was the money factor. It's one reason the Christian should be protected against involvement of the sports world, the entertainment world. According to consumer and business channels, he says, consumers spend in 2017 approximately $1 billion in sports-related purchases. How much of the money that the Lord has allotted to me was part of that $1 billion wasted on whatever device just for our pleasures? The next one is the glory factor. No, the time factor. The next one he gave was the time factor. According to one source, the four big broadcasting networks racked up a boggling 1 trillion minutes by sport viewers in 2018. Put into years, that comes to almost 2 million years. Can you imagine that? For 1 year, the time that was wasted by people tuning into sports relates into 2 million years. It said 1,900,000, I think he had written in there. We trust not, but how many of us were part of those minutes that were wasted on our devices? The next one is the glory factor. It is probably safe to say, he says, that very few people were giving glory to God as they sat before their television sets and smartphones during those wasted minutes watching those sporting events. And the last one was the abomination factor. Jesus gives these sobering words in Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Notice these sobering words coming from the lips of our Lord. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now we know there's no question that the sports and entertainment world is highly esteemed in our society today. A lot of that has been shut down because of this present situation. But you can be assured that it's going to rise up very fast as soon as this is over. This is not going to change that. First Peter chapter 4. Turn with me to First Peter chapter 4. It reminds us there of the suffering that Jesus endured for our sake. It asks us to rearm ourselves with the same mind that Jesus had. Then in verse 3 and verse 4, it also again reminds us of the past, our past sinful life, and how we were of those who were out there. Again, he brings it out that, well, I'll just read verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. For the time past of our life miss of life to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquet, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, we were at one time a part of that pleasure-crazed world. But may that ever be in the past. May we never deny the power of God in delivering us from the clutches of that very situation out there. So this morning, my question is, do I have the power to say no to the dictates of my fleshly appetites? Or I am like our text says, I have a form of godliness, but I deny that power. Or have I found myself denying the power of God, wasting my time on my smartphone or whatever, watching the Super Bowl or the Olympics or any other thing that we can get on those things that waste our time, our precious time the Lord gives us as a redeemed child of God? You know, before I knew the Lord as my Savior, I sometimes almost pitied the children of God for their all the restrictions that they had and things that they couldn't enjoy, I thought. But that changed overnight at the age of 26. In my life, when the joy of the Lord flooded my soul. What I found there was far exceeded all that I thought I couldn't even do without. What I was seeking for in pleasure paled in the joy that I was experiencing in the Lord. What freedom. Freedom from being under the slave master who is out there to destroy our soul, bend on our destruction. The freedom of serving our Lord, who is only interested in our welfare. Interested in our future, in our eternal bliss. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You think he was in a situation different than what we are? Probably a little worse, because at that time God said, this is it. There's no hope for this generation anymore. They're only thinking evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in that generation. So we can be assured, brethren, that as we follow the teachings of the Lord, of our Lord, like he did, after Noah was finished with the ark, everything was just like God told him. He didn't deviate in his pattern. He built it just like God said. Are you building your Christian life this morning? Am I building my Christian experience just like the teachings we have from the gospel message? He was a just man and perfect in his generation. My question is, where am I this morning? It's a challenge for each one of us. We can be like Noah because we're living in this generation. How are we doing in this generation? Are we appalled like David was when we see the carnality that is out there? You know, it's appalling when you read of, first it was marriage and divorce. We sort of, that was pretty awful. But that's way down the line already. Now it's homosexuality. It's changing over from, we better not really define sex anymore. Is it a man or is it a woman? We get appalled at those things. We should be appalled at how easy it is for us. How easy it is for us to cater to our selfish interests and desires, our fleshly desires, our carnality. Are we dealing with that in our life? You know, Moses faced the same concerns back in the days just before his last message to the people of Israel, before he left the scenes. He reminded them, talked about people setting up idols in their hearts. He said, if you hear the curse of your evil ways, when you hear the judgment sounded, in my own words, they blessed themselves and said, I have peace with God. I have peace in my heart. Though I walk in the imagination of my heart. He said, with that attitude, God is going to blot you out from under heaven. How is it with us today? It's easy for us to think, to reason. It's easy for us to make excuses for ourselves rather than taking the Word of God for our direction and our guideline. Denying the power of God, the gospel is still clear in providing us today with the tools we need to live a godly Christian life. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Brother David mentioned that in the opening. Where is our joy coming from? Where is our foundation resting on? Romans, I just appreciate that verse still. There in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believeth. The Jew first, to the Gentile, to the Greek. He says, for it is the righteousness of God. Therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. David's faith moved him to action. David's faith moved him to run towards Goliath with a sling and a stone in the name of the Lord. You know, if we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. God will see us through these times. Isn't that wonderful? We have that promise right there in 2 Peter, that if we do this adding in a right way, we're not going to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God will see us through these perilous times. I'm going to close with 2 Peter. Turn with me to 2 Peter, verse 10 and 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. What a comfort, what a blessing to have this promise, along with all the promises of God that He has given for our encouragement. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand for the closing prayer.